meeting of the Customer Service Committee. Roll call.
Committee Chair Barreto.
Here.
Director Bates. Director Dotson.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Public comments? Okay. Under committee chair, I'll take a motion to approve the minutes. There was a copy with a revised copy of the minutes that were submitted to us. Take a motion to approve the revised committee minutes.
So moved.
I will second it. Are there any discussions regarding further changes, amendments, or deletions? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Those do pass. Additional items. Just real quick, one thing that I would just point out, it's been thrown out there, but this weekend, Saturday from 10 to 2, is our safety fair and open house here at the tollway. I will be there with one very exuberant little five-year-old from Elmhurst. I'd encourage everybody to swing by. It's a good time. That's all I have. Moving on in the agenda to the executive director. Christy is busy out getting the word out about the event on Saturday. And she'll be on Fox 32 News at 12:30. So take a look at that. And in the meantime, last time at our meeting, Director Dotson raised an issue or asked a question about our presence, the tollway presence on social media. And Wendy Abrams has come in.
Thank you.
Give us an update, kind of let us know where we are and what's out there.
Good afternoon, directors.
Good afternoon.
Here we go. As Director Red indicated, I'm here to give an update on where we are with our social media strategy. Our process began in earnest in January 2012 when we conducted a survey of about 1.1 to 1.2 million IPAS customers self-selected to receive information about the tollway. Our goal was to measure interest in some new communications tactics, specifically social media, Facebook and Twitter, particularly, smartphone applications, and text messages. In all, we had about 50,000 responses. That represents about a 4.5% response rate. And we didn't just want to measure interest in some of these new vehicles. We wanted to test specific areas of content. So we asked questions about information pertaining to traffic alerts, travel time notifications, IPAS information, construction information, and frequently asked questions. And what we learned was that nearly 73% of our customers were not interested in receiving this kind of information via Facebook. And for Twitter, same list of questions: traffic information, travel times, IPAS, construction information, and FAQs. And you can see that nearly 87% of our customers were not interested in receiving information via Twitter. So clearly, that was a surprise to us. We knew that from a previous IBTTA survey of toll road agencies, 25 of 28 were currently using social media in some way, shape, or form. And so, you know, the majority of our peers were using this. So we looked at the data again, and we saw that there was, in fact, a strong interest, about 48%, in receiving information about traffic alerts, and another 42% in a mobile app that allowed for IPAS updates. So in a way, our path forward became a little bit more clear. We made two decisions. One, that we would explore the automation of traffic alerts via Twitter, and number two, that we would pursue mobile IPAS management through a smartphone app, which ultimately became our mobile site. And I'll explain that more in a second. So where we are today with Twitter. I think some of you may know, certainly the staff in the room, that our Traffic Incident and Management Center, also known as TIMS, dispatches real-time roadway alert information to staff and traffic reporters 24 hours a day. We're notified every time an accident occurs on the road, when the lane is blocked, when it's cleared, and when the incident is ultimately over. And that's the same information that our reporters use to provide live updates on TV and radio about what's happening on the tollway. So we thought it made sense to explore a way to program those messages as they exist now directly to a Twitter feed. This removes the manual process of tweeting. It happens automatically without anyone actually having to program information. And we made the decision to develop Twitter feeds based on each of our four roadways. We knew that, you know, all of our customers might not be interested in everything that was happening on the tollway, and that they were really just interested in the roads that they travel on. So as you can see from the slide, in November 2012, we launched Tollway Trip Tweets. Today we have more than 5,200 followers in our flock. The Tri-State Tollway is the leading feed with more than 1,700 followers, which is no surprise to us given what we know about the traffic volume on that road.
Maybe it'd be good to talk about the kind of tweets that.
Sure. I wish you could see this a little bit more closely, but this on your left, and actually probably can't read it at all, it shows you, based on the time, an update on a crash that happened. So it says update crash, and then the next tweet in the feed would be lane one and lane two blocked, and then the next one would be update, you know, Finley Road 355, accident cleared, all lanes open. So people have a really good sense of exactly the life of an incident on our road, where, when, and what the real-time status is of lane closures.
So when this is still the same initial feed that goes through, that goes out to staff and to our personnel about an incident. Is that the same feed and the same information that goes when my navigation system says there's an incident at Finley Road, do you want to avoid it? Or is that a separate, is that all part of the same, taken from the same entry of information?
I believe that it is taken from the same entry. It all starts at the TIM Center where they push this information out. It goes to reporters, it goes to staff, and I believe it's the same information that goes to what we call MidwestTravel.com, which is the site that sort of tracks all of the incidents, not just for the tollway, but in the IDOT in the Midwest region overall.
Okay.
Any other questions before I move on?
When you said you made the decision, the two decisions you made regarding Twitter, what was the other one?
Smartphone app.
I'm just curious, the decision you made, even though a large percentage of people said they weren't interested in Twitter.
That's an excellent question. And I think that there was a sense that we wanted to sort of dip our toe into the water of social media, given that so many people were using it. And there was a need for some kinds of information, so we felt like it made sense to use, sort of look at what was out there and invest some resources, but not, for example, a full-time staff person who would be tweeting all day. That this was a good way for us to sort of gauge interest. And also, in the interest of full disclosure, we conducted this survey in January 2012, which was a month after we implemented our toll rate increase. So, I mean, you could say that could have certainly skewed the results of the survey somewhat. I mean, it was a month after our toll rates went up, so.
I mean, just one other question associated with that. So the main major sources in social media, Facebook and Twitter, Twitter being more of sending out information, and Facebook more of a two-way communication vehicle.
Yeah.
Typically, iPass or tollway users for two-way communication, is that through phone call or the website? That's how, if people have issues, that's still the two main modes of communicating with the tollway.
I would definitely say online is the number one mode, and we can talk about that in a second. We know that 80% of our customers manage their iPass accounts online, and based on previous customer research we've done, we know that they're not necessarily, and focus groups, we know that our customers are not necessarily interested in receiving a wide range of information and back and forth. What they really want to know is information about that's specific to them, specific to their iPass account. And jump in, Shauna, if you.
That makes sense.
And specific to their own travel patterns and their own specific iPass account information.
Thank you.
Interestingly, one of the requests that I often receive when I am talking to customers is they can receive violation notices by email. I tell them that the DMV does not have their email address. That's an example of how customized they would like these things to get.
Okay.
So for iPass account management, we explored two different options.
I'm just still thinking about this.
We explored two different options. One that we originally tested in our survey, which was the need for IPAS account information via smartphone app, and also a mobile version of the Tollways website. And we learned in our research that really a smartphone app was far more complicated in terms of development and implementation, and far more expensive. We also learned that our website, really, as it exists today, provides all of the capability and the functions that we needed for our customers. Today, you can do all of the things that are listed on this slide via our website. You can, you know, view your account balance, you can look at your transponder history, you can update your credit card information, you can add license plates, new vehicles to your account, and you can activate a new transponder online. And as I said, 80% of our customers prefer to manage their accounts online now. So in case you don't know, a mobile version is really just a simplified version of the website that exists today. Fewer clicks, more direct access to key functions. And I think that it's safe to say that we learned in our research that the development of apps is kind of an aging technology. More and more people are actually using mobile websites instead of apps.
Absolutely.
Good. Which was kind of a surprise to us.
Just got
actually, it's fine. A year ago.
So obviously then the website was, when it was designed, or did you have to reconfigure the website, or was it already designed to be smartphone ready?
It was not. It was a complete redesign of our site. So if you go to our homepage now, it has everything. It has banners, it has information about state police, it has a full sort of menu of everything that's available. And as you can see from this slide, we reconfigured our site so that it goes directly to these three options. So this is what our mobile website looks like from a smartphone or a tablet.
Nice.
So we launched the site this summer. You may have read about it in the newspaper. We had about 30,000 hits our first week. In total, from late July through mid-September, we've had more than 302 page views. So we think that it's been a success. We're currently working to expand the functionality of the site as part of a phase two. And we hope to be able to add functions like the ability to order a transponder online and the ability to add funds to your account. Those are the two things that you can't do on it right now. And last but not least, we recently began posting our videos on a YouTube channel. The range of options that are available today, and again, I'm sorry that this is so small, our current television commercials that we run on NBC and Fox, a video of the beam removal that I think all of you saw a couple of months ago, an educational video that we produced about our earned credit program, a time-lapse video from last year that shows the reconstruction of the tri-level bridge, and some of the Tollways vintage television commercials that aired in 1959. Nearly 14,000 views over the past 30 days. And if it's all right with you, I'll show you one of these commercials if you haven't seen them already. And please, fingers crossed. This is one of the commercials that's currently online.
Sorry, one second.
This is
Well, thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much.
And right now, one of the reasons we don't have the traffic updates through the mobile app is it's just not compatible. It's updating that right now. We've got all of the buttons that are primarily associated with managing your account. but it's not.
You're thinking maybe like we could stream the what is essentially the 12 tweets on the.
Well, I mean, if you just clicked on, yeah, if you clicked on, is that not an option? Like if you go to the mobile website and then click on for traffic updates, that would require an additional input or investment in technology.
Yeah, I think it would. It's something that we can explore.
Yeah. It's not currently available even on the full site. We can't get that, so but we could explore both the mobile and the full site.
Yeah.
Information. I mean, I'd be interested just in what that is, and part of the issue is, you know, and I understand people can sign up through Twitter for the updates, and they would generally be associated with whatever route they take on a daily basis, but if they're switching out of that and going someplace else, this way, an easy place to go find it.
Directly at our site.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We could certainly look into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Wendy.
All right. Shauna, you want to jump to and give us kind of our work plan status and update?
I would. Thank you. Thank you. We are going to talk today about JCAR, about our image review, and then just about, well, actually, it's really JCAR and image review, and then just a quick update on where we stand with a couple of other topics brought up last time. So on page 3, and I know that we talked about JCAR last time, but we wanted to go back and talk about it again because there are two parts of it, and there might be questions about one of the parts that we perhaps didn't discuss thoroughly the last time around, so it's really just a reconsideration. The first part we did discuss pretty thoroughly, which this should be familiar, the 30-day notices. JCAR is the organization that has to approve our changes to our noticing process. So our notice process right now is 21 days for a due date, 14 days for a due date, and 21 days again for a due date. That is, as you can see, especially as we compare ourselves to our peer tolling organizations, the ones that have big open roll tolling operations, those are pretty narrow time frames. And the thinking has always been that if we could, at least since January when we started to analyze this in depth, the thinking has been that if we could extend those time frames, we would give people more of a chance to pay, and we might even save ourselves a little bit of cost if they were to pay before we had to issue subsequent notices and then and invest in kind of the escalation of their fine. So just trying to manage all my screens here. What that would mean is that we would update all of our notices to reflect these new 30-day cycles, and we would update all of our communications, which would be really nice because I think it's a much easier thing to stick in people's heads rather than 21-14-21. I think 30-30-30 makes a lot more sense intuitively. This screenshot is just what's on our webpage right now. It shows the escalation of the notices, and then it's kind of blown up there onto the right side with 30 days. It's the same information, it's the same approach to notice escalation, it's just 30 days.
Sorry, I'm going to ask a quick question there, and I apologize if we discussed this already.
No, this is the exact reason we wanted to.
Okay, so if you, just on your previous slide, if you're going to go to the 30-day for the first and second communication, it appears that the places that you compared, the comparison data from those other tollway authorities, that third communication they don't have. It's NA, right? They don't do that. And so if we move to a 30-day platform as well, why wouldn't we get rid of that third communication?
Third communication for us is a notification of suspension. So it gives people one last chance to cure their situation for a suspension. It is true that we can consider getting rid of it. We don't do a high volume of these notices right now. It probably would not save us a ton of money. And the idea is that we would, we probably would be cutting back on customer service to do that, because I do think that this is a service to individuals who find the suspension of registration and possible suspension of a driver's license and then the reporting to a collection agency enough to motivate them to then respond before it hits that level.
So we're just going to go the extra, extra mile to try to collect it.
But I mean, I'm happy to give you some of the statistics around it at some point if you're interested. But it's not, it doesn't represent a huge, that notice doesn't represent the huge cost to us. It's the first and second that are the most costly to print, mail, and manage. And then it's those where most people who are going to pay, that's when they pay, are on those two notices.
And that's why the cost is generally associated with the first and second, is because of the sheer volume of them.
Yeah.
That we're issuing and we're obtaining compliance within that period. So the decreasing number of people that remain with outstanding balances were issues. So that's why the decrease in cost.
Right.
There's not something inherent about that third one, like we finally figured it out and now we can do it cheaper.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. That's a good question. The other part of the JCAR language that we want to change, and this is the, again, the administrative language that talks through what we're able to do with our fines and other various things that we do in our operations, has to do with the possibility that came up in January of maybe one day getting rid of the $50 fine. So when we go back to this screen, that red one at the bottom, that third notice that we just discussed, that notice shows up at people's doorstep, those who do receive it, with not only the cost of the toll and the $20 fines for each of those missed tolls, but a $50 fine on top of that for each of those tolls. That $50 fine has come up at various points as being perceived as egregious and a little over the top, and it's not something that we even have a ton of success collecting on. Most people pay their first and second. So when we talked about revenue recovery and fine structure in January, and we talked through reducing fines, it came up as a possibility. Could we at least get rid of those 50? This was the slide shown in January. This is what we had talked through at that point, and kind of how once we spend the money, what we get back on a net basis. And the $50 fines comprise, at this point, about 15% of our revenue recovery. The 15% of revenue recovery is probably something, if we planned right, if we, you know, as our business models evolve, as we open new roadways, we could possibly manage to that concern. The real question is, and nobody really in the tolling industry knows this for certain, is what would happen if we got rid of the $50 fines with respect to customer behavior? There was a concern raised, I believe, in January where the idea is that the $50 fine is so scary that it's very motivating to people to pay. And if that went away, would our revenue recovery actually dip significantly below just the 15% that we might know that we would stand to lose?
Shauna, what's the dollar amount of that 15%? Do you know that?
15% of 54% has got to be about 10, 12 million. Right? Or no, sorry. It'd be a little under 10 million. Yeah.
Just
at
to go back,
things stand now.
Part of the discussion that was had when this, and I think January is kind of when it came to a head, if you will, and we talked about this last, but prior to that, in this committee, we had talked about the fact that evaluating where we are from a customer service perspective and dealing with with people with violations, dealing with them in kind of this punitive, what was seen as a punitive manner versus kind of dealing with them as a potential customer for those that aren't currently customers. And that's where this discussion, I think, really ultimately started and it kind of focused on this $50 issue. You know, from my perspective, you know, this has kind of come around because there was a gap in time where we, in talking about this, and you know, it was a part, we're kind of going to JCAR with one single resolution to deal with these issues. I think a lot of what Shauna is pointing out are things that we've talked about in this committee and as part of management and staff as we deal with these. There are some issues about this, there's no doubt. I mean, we've talked about the fact that we want to make sure that whatever we implement, whatever changes we may implement, we want to make sure that they're, you know, at least revenue neutral in our operation, because obviously, you know, that would have a significant impact on the way we're able to operate as a tollway. But the other part is, we wanted to give ourselves some latitude that to engage in this process, taking this, recognizing kind of this mindset that we do want to deal with people as customer, you know, as a customer base or potential customer base from our standpoint, versus necessarily dealing with this in such a punitive manner. So I think, you know, from my perspective, that's kind of how we've gotten here, and we're still, I would say, you know, collecting information to see what the best way to do that. And last time when we talked about this, even in the as we dealt with the two-year look back, you know, we're talking about what kind of things can we do to actually change behavior or have an impact on behavior. And so, you know, as this is put out there, I would just say that this has given us some of the latitude, I think, and, you know, it's one of the things that I find favorable about the current language, to give us the latitude to take a look at this going forward and really utilize our expertise and the information we get so we're not handcuffed going forward.
I think that's well stated. The idea is not that we would implement this tomorrow. The idea is that we would have the flexibility to consider implementing it on a pilot basis at some point when our business model is able to absorb it and consider it. Where we wouldn't put revenue recovery at any sort of risk that might come back to hurt just the level of service we can provide all of our drivers. Again, because most people pay on time. This is, you know, although we're looking at big figures and everything else, the violation portion of our driver population is quite small, and we are always trying to walk that line between enforcing and providing customer service. And this is another tool that would be in our belt if we wanted to give it a shot, give it a try, see how customer behavior might change or evolve, respond to it in the future.
Director Dotson, that's why this is such an important committee. Nobody else is having this discussion.
Now, I don't know if we want to take votes at this time or just go through the presentation and then wrap back to that.
Let's, I think per normal course, let's go ahead and go through this. We can reference it back as we come back, and then we'll stay in compliance with our agenda as it's set out to that way.
Perfect. Then the second thing that will come up for a vote is the renewal of our image review contract with Bridgeway. Bridgeway is a nonprofit organization that is partnered with another nonprofit organization. Bridgeway is located in Galesburg, Illinois, and they're partnered with the growth, what do you call that, the inner, I wrote this out because I knew I was the Illinois Growth Enterprises Group in Rockford, Illinois. Now, together, what they do is they review the images of our license plates. Violators. So when we don't get a transponder read that has a valid account attached to it, the picture that we take of the license plate, we keep. And our technology reads the license plate as best as it can, and it populates the fields within the system as best as it can. But then that image gets sent to human image reviewers, and this is true for every open road tolling organization really in the world at this point. We sit there and go through each image and make sure that the technology read it correctly. Are those the right numbers? Is that the right state and jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera? And we currently split our images essentially between the Galesburg location and the Rockford location, which is great because if one of them happens to have an internet connectivity problem or whatever, you can just shift all of it to one or the other. You don't have to have a kind of a blip in service rate. But, yeah, it's great. So Bridgeway has been doing this for several years at this point. Now, the reason that this slide is up there is because it kind of harkens back to the reason that Bridgeway is involved with us. And that is between 2007 and 2013, just January of this year, Image review was part of a very big customer service contract that was with Transcorp. And we as an organization committed to trying to break that contract apart and work with state use organizations, nonprofit organizations within Illinois. Keep the, the services within Illinois, focus on state use, and support social enterprise type companies within Illinois. And it took, it took some time, but we peeled one service after the other off. Bridgeway was the first to go, image review. And we brought it from Texas, where Transcorp had done at that point. We brought it from Texas to Illinois, to Galesburg and Rockford. We saved an estimated $1 million a year doing it. And it's been a really successful collaborative relationship for the last several years. So the contract, as it was set out at the time, was for 3 years, and then we had 3 one-year renewal options, and we're coming to the committee today to request that we exercise all 3 of those 1-year renewal options and just vote on another 3 years with Bridgeway.
I would just, and I guess this will come up when we consider the matter, there's a couple of things that I'd just like to point out I think are important. Number one, during the course of our experience during this changeover, from our perspective operationally, we've had an excellent relationship in making the changeover and in the quality of the product that we're receiving as far as service in getting those reads. The other thing that I would point out is, and Shauna talked about this, if you take a look at the original contract to this contract, we're looking at about a $700,000 savings over the course of that time period, which was already down $1 million a year off of the old Transcorp. But so we've had this excellent service. We've had a great relationship. Moving forward, we're entering into the proposal that's before us is for a continuation of that at $700,000 less than before, almost a little over 7% decrease in the previous contract. So I think this is a good thing, and I think we're moving in the right direction. We've talked about trying to do things better and cleaner and with more of a commitment to maintaining the resources and being good stewards of the toll payer resources, and I think this does that. So.
Then finally, just to follow up on our conversation from last time, there are 2 things that we wanted to let you know remain in process. One of them was the discussion we had last month about the survey of customer preferences regarding the evolution of the 2-year rule. And Wendy and I have been working through how to get that accomplished and statistics back to everybody in short order.
So how do you all administer your surveys?
Typically online, the way that survey that Wendy referenced during her social media presentation was done. And we get decent response rates. 4.5% was impressive, especially after a toll increase.
And you basically just put it out there on the website and then people...
We email it.
You want to email it to your customers and have them, okay.
We also do focus groups, though.
For some more qualitative type data.
Give some more context, correct. Add depth. Focus groups definitely add depth to anything that you're just getting, survey data on.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Wendy, did you say 70% is the number, or approximately 70% of the people 80. Are 80% are handling all of their communication electronically with us right now?
80% of customers choose to manage their iPads online. But I would say that the number of people who prefer to communicate with us about all topics electronically is even higher.
As all these new drivers, all these people that never only want to text, it'll be even higher. Sorry, that was just parenting that I got in there.
Because you can disencourage people by having them talk to automated so they'd rather just talk.
I think my kids would be happier talking to automated than actual people. And I'm sorry, did you have anything on the Illinois toll concession or Indiana toll concession?
No, it's okay. Just still in process, the research and discussion.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Director, any questions?
No.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Shauna.
You're welcome. through you.
Okay. So, all right. If I can just lead into this JCAR with a little. What's before us is the JCAR rule that was actually presented to committee and voted on last time. As Shauna pointed out, this was brought back so that we could have this discussion and focus on part that we had dating back to like January and this $50 fee. So I think at this point it would be appropriate to take a motion to reconsider the change resolution because we can't vote again on the same language that's already been approved by this committee. And if we do that, then we can, and we're happy with it, we can just vote down the motion to reconsider and pass it along. So if you're agreeable to that, willing to make that motion directly.
I move that we reconsider the JCAR rule change.
I'll second it. So we have before us a motion to reconsider the JCAR rule change resolution that includes both of the that includes what was passed out of committee last time. It was for the purposes of allowing this discussion. If there's any further discussion on any of the information that's been presented or included in the rule, that would be appropriate at this time.
No, sir.
Okay. So now we have the question before us, which is whether or not we want to adopt the motion to reconsider the JCAR rule. So a no vote would allow what we passed last time to go forward. So I would encourage a no vote on this. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
So the proposal as it passed, the original language that's before us today that was on the last agenda will now go forward to the full board. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the only question for the committee then would be, do you want that on the consent agenda or is your preference just to proceed to the full board for further discussion?
Let's put it on the consent agenda, and if somebody wants to pull it off, we can pull it off for discussion at that point.
Yep. Correct. And we'll make the minutes reflect this discussion that we just had here.
Okay. Wonderbar.
Thank you.
All right. Now moving on to the second matter of business, we have a renewal of the contract of the Bridgeway Training Services, which we discussed following Shauna's presentation. I'll take a motion to approve.
So moved.
And a second. Is there any further discussion on this contract? All right, with no further discussion, all those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? We will pass that along to the full board for next week's meeting. Unfinished business. Is there any? New business? Is there anything for executive session?
No, that's bad.
I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, all those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.